This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Prince of Peace. Amen. Well, it's finally here. Tonight is Christmas Eve. And tonight we continue a sermon series that I began on Wednesday, December 5th. My members know that I've been preaching on the titles given to Jesus as found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We heard part of that earlier in our first reading. Let me read it again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These last few weeks, we've learned about the first three titles in Isaiah 9:6. I've preached sermons on Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. And if you're interested in reviewing how those titles apply to Jesus, you can check out my sermon manuscripts on our webpage. But for tonight, we will focus on the meaning of that fourth title in Isaiah 9:6, Prince of Peace. If the world ever needed peace, we do now. It seems like in our world today, war is just far too common. The war against terrorism continues. Many soldiers are fighting in Iraq and in other places around the world when they would rather be at home, celebrating Christmas with their loved ones. But of course, we're not the only nation at war. Around the world, various nations are at war with other nations, or in some cases, a nation is at war against itself. However, nations are not the only ones who are at war. Many people in this world have feelings of hatred for others, and some people even perform acts of violence toward others for various reasons. For example, there are some people that hate and hurt others simply because their skin is a different color. And then there are people who hate and hurt others because of jealousy. They see people who have things that they don't have, and they think that justifies any evil things they might do. No wonder society seems to be at war with itself. But on top of that, we can even find war among people who should love one another. For example, many husbands and wives are at war with each other, and the result is that marriage vows are often broken. Many parents and children are at war with each other, and the result is that we have dysfunctional homes filled with tension, strife, and even violence. Even fellow Christians who ought to love one another, we're often filled with animosity for each other, and the result is that we have some congregations filled with disharmony and conflict. Now, I could talk all night about the various ways that people of this world are at war with each other. Sadly, the fact is, as much as we'd love to have peace on earth, we don't. Instead, we can't seem to avoid war. But with that understood, we need to realize that things have been this way ever since Adam and Eve declared war against God. And my friends, we are the sinful descendants of Adam and Eve. God's word teaches that we are conceived with their sinful nature. Therefore, it's natural for us to be at war with God as well. In fact, the reason there is so much war between people is that we are at war with God. And until we are at peace with God, there will never be peace on earth. In fact, if peace were up to us, I'm afraid we'd be doomed to an eternity without peace. You see, Scripture teaches that we are by nature at odds with God. Now, the problem is not that God doesn't love us. afraid the problem is that we don't love God. We don't even trust Him as we should. And the proof for this is that we're constantly sinning against God by our desires, by our thoughts, by our words, by our deeds, by the evil that we do, by the good that we fail to do. And because of this sin, Scripture clearly teaches that God would have every right to pour out His wrath upon us in war against our sin. And so, until we are at peace with God, we can never be at peace with others. But my friends, that's why we need to pay very, very close attention to the true message of Scripture. You see, the true message of Scripture helps us to understand what Christmas is really all about. The message that we hear about Christmas in our culture really doesn't get at the core meaning of why we're here tonight. But when we realize what Christmas is really about, then we can begin to realize that it will be possible finally to have peace. I have good news tonight for us war-torn sinners. Tonight we get to hear about the Prince of Peace. Simply put, Jesus, God's Son, came into this world to give you peace. But you need to understand something. The peace that He gives you must start with Him bringing you into a love relationship with God. My friends, as I've said already, we need to be at peace with God if we are ever going to be at peace with others. In our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we're told that the child who is born for us and the son who is given for us, He is to be called Prince of Peace. Now, He's called Prince because He rules over us as our God, but He's called the Prince of Peace because peace describes the nature of His rule. As Isaiah writes, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end." Isaiah is here speaking about Jesus, who is God in human flesh. Just think about it for a second. The baby who lived in Mary's womb is the creator of all things. The infant Jesus has more power in his little pinky than all the armies of all the nations that have ever existed or will ever exist. And yet, even though Jesus was almighty in power, He chose to live a life of humility and service. In fact, Jesus even allowed Himself to be beaten and nailed to a cross. Now, why would Jesus, God in the flesh, allow people to do this to Him? Well, we find out why from the book of Isaiah. Later in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, we read, "He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." Did you hear that? Just as Isaiah spoke of Jesus' birth in chapter 9, our first reading, in the same way, in Isaiah chapter 53, he speaks of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. And please understand something. Jesus did not have to endure this suffering and death. He could have made war against us, his enemies. He could have wiped us out. But instead, he allowed us to wipe him out with our sins, so that we might be saved from our war against God and be rescued from the punishment that we deserve. The Apostle Paul writes about this wonderful miracle in Romans chapter 5. Listen closely to what he says about this. He says, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Isn't that awesome? Jesus was born for one reason and one reason only: to die for you. Jesus died for us to give us peace with God. At the beginning of Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about this. Listen to what he says there. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you are at peace with God. The war that God should have justly waged against us, He instead waged against His Son, and He damned Him in our place, that through His sacrifice we might be forgiven. The Prince of Peace has reconciled you to God. Your sins are forgiven. You are no longer God's enemy. You can live at peace with God. In fact, that reminds me of what the angels said to the shepherds. Remember what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. My friend, do you want God's peace in your life? Then let His favor rest on you. In other words, repent of your sin and trust in the Prince of Peace who died for your sin so that you could be reconciled to God. But do you know what's really sad? God's favor does not rest on some people in this world. Not because God doesn't want His favor to rest on them, He does, but because some refuse to repent of their sin and will not trust in the Prince of Peace. Maybe you know someone who is running from God and they're trying to find peace in their life of sin. Maybe you've been guilty of this foolishness. Well, my friend, God doesn't want you to be at war with Him or other people. God wants His favor to rest on you so that you can receive peace from the Prince of Peace. Tonight we worship our Savior, the Prince of Peace who came to give us peace with God. Tonight God's favor rests on you as He calls you to repent of your sin and receive peace through faith in your Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In fact, the Prince of Peace is going to give us His own body and blood tonight in this holy meal. He gives us this gift so that we can know that we are at peace with God and that Jesus Himself dwells within us. In fact, I have some more good news on top of that. You see, the same Prince of Peace who has reconciled you to God, He can also heal the broken relationships that you have with others. As the love and mercy of God fills your heart, you will be moved to show love and mercy to others, even forgiving those who have hurt you. Because of Jesus, we can begin to have peace on earth. Because of the Prince of Peace, husbands and wives can begin to forgive and love and serve each other. Because of the Prince of Peace, parents and children can begin to forgive and love and serve each other. Because of the Prince of Peace, all humans who trust in Him can begin to forgive and love and serve one another. There can be peace on earth when people are at peace with God through faith in the Prince of Peace. However, as wonderful as that news is, we must remember that we will never have complete peace on earth until Jesus returns again in glory. Even though many people trust in Jesus and by His grace strive to turn from their sin and love one another as God calls us to do, nevertheless, sadly, there are many people who refuse to rest in God's favor, and so they do not have the peace of Christ in their lives. That's why we will never have perfect peace this side of heaven. Nevertheless, even though we will never have perfect peace on earth until Jesus returns, we believers can still live in peace and have the certain hope for the future. We can live in peace now because we know that our sins are forgiven and we are reconciled to God through Jesus. And we can also live in certain hope for the future because one day Jesus will return as He promised, and He will put an end to all war and all evil forever. Yes, my friends, one day Jesus will establish His government in the new creation that He will give us on the day He returns in power and glory. On that day, we believers who rest in God's favor will be ushered into the new creation where we will live forever in perfect peace. Isaiah wrote about this future government in our first reading. We also heard about Jesus' government of peace in our second reading from Micah. And my friends, this hope is possible because the Prince of Peace was born of the Virgin Mary, born to save His people from their sins, so that you could live at peace with God now and for all eternity. You know, this truth reminds me of some of the words from the famous hymn, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing," which we will sing in tomorrow's Christmas Day service. But I want you to listen to the first words of that hymn. They are, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." So with those words in your heart and mind, let God's favor rest upon you. Let God's favor rest upon your homes. And make the Prince of Peace the center of your marriage and family. And then you will experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Prince of Peace. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the